What up, what up, what up? This is Nathan J. Shaw Jr. and you are listening again to the Fit for Life radio broadcast right here at 98.5 FM The Wire, presented by Frontline Sports Center and sponsored by Simply Healthcare Plans. We're so excited to be in the building yet again. Yes, your boy got his voice back just a bit, so I'm excited about that.
It's not 100%.
Not 100%, but it's a little bit back. We had a week off of the camp. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, but this has been an incredible free agency season right here. It's a lot to talk about.
Somebody gonna have to work this season.
Hey, listen, somebody's gonna have to work it, and I want to get right up into it. We have an incredible guest for us today. Someone who is a bona fide basketball influencer, mental strategist. He is, I don't even want to call him a trainer because that's not what he is. He guides NBA pros, collegiate athletes, high school prospects, really incredibly gifted in this field. It has a really great take on training in regards to basketball, not just the physical, but also the mental. I'm so excited for him to be on the show today. We're going to get with him in just a moment. But listen, we are still in the Fit for Life Summer Camp Boot Camp, and it is absolutely incredible. We took the 4th of July week off, but we're in week 5, and I'm telling you, the last couple of weeks they did a financial literacy week where they learned about how to write a check, how to look at credit, how to look at their savings, how to invest in the financial foreign exchange market. I mean, all of these different incredible ideas they were learning. And I think financial literacy is so important for our young people to understand, because that is how we really build the future, to have a financial legacy. And then they did a business plan week, and I'm telling you, I was blown away. These students, one of the ideas they had was a way to generate power through solar power and rain. Okay. And where, I mean, I can't explain it like they did, but it was just incredibly intense and detailed. And there was about $1,000 worth of prize money that was given out thanks to a wonderful sponsor. And and they just had an incredible
time. You said $1,000. Tell me about that. I don't know about that part.
So yeah, I mean, we worked on sponsorship for this camp, and it's still not too late to sponsor. You can still come and help us with this Fit for Life Summer Boot Camp. Yes, we're in week 5, but there are so many different things that we want to do with the students, and we are always, and we're trying to make sure that this is a pilot program so we can continue throughout the school year. But yeah, we had a sponsor that came in and basically contributed to what we were planning to do, and so the winning team was able to get a sizable amount of prize money. And
oh, you don't want to say?
No, I don't mind saying it. I don't mind saying it. The winning team, we had 4 teams in total. We broke the 30 kids into 4 teams because, you know, of the time and everything. And the winning team got $600.
Wow.
The second place team got $250, and the other 2 place teams got $125. So
I can use that.
Hello, you know. So I was money. Like, I was like, and that wasn't the original plan.
So if I say gas money, what kind of car you driving?
She got the Hummer.
Nah, you got to think about it for a month span. That's a whole month of gas
there you go,
right
there.
Now.
I hear you. But so that was phenomenal, and the kids were so excited, and it was amazing to see. Because listen, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they only had a day to do their plan. We took them through an intense curriculum. Shout out to the Nehemiah Project and Young Biblical Entrepreneurship. And we talked about profit and loss statements. We talked about income statements, marketing strategy, industry analysis. We talked about really them understanding how their business is going to impact their community and how it's going to be an asset. We talked about all those things, and they had to come up with a plan. And this was a pretty robust plan that had to include all of those things. And they only had one day,
right?
Not even a day. We had 3 hours. Because we also do speed and agility with our camp. So they had 3 hours to come up with a plan. They had a little bit of time the next day, but it was absolutely phenomenal. Listen, when we're going to have our end of the year celebration, we'll be telling you about that in the weeks to come. We want you to come because these kids have been doing some phenomenal, phenomenal work. I ask you this every time you're here, but what have you seen from these kids? We had a week off, and now we're coming back.
I had a week off. So, about them, I had a week off.
So what can you tell? You talk about, because we're going to be talking about physical fitness here, right? Can you talk about some of the, we talk about the entrepreneurship side a lot and the personal development, but the physical fitness that the kids have gone through, can you just...
Right. So
now let me preface now.
Go ahead,
because preface. You have a daughter that is right at
all-time American.
All-time American.
I was seeing when you mentioned it. You have to stay.
Shout out to your daughter.
Yes, please.
Shout out to the team. Right. This third?
They came in third in the nation.
In the nation. Third in the nation. And should've been first, but should have been first. Listen, every time he said.
Listen, I'm going to call it out.
Every time.
I'm not
going
to be politically correct right now.
Go ahead and do it now.
We're in Detroit.
Yes.
That's PA's hometown, I believe.
Shout out to Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan, right?
Yeah.
So we're battling for the final four. So if you know volleyball, we're in the third set. They're switching sides. A young girl tried to do a Nancy Kerrigan on my daughter. Tried to hit her in the knee with a metal water bottle. Talk about your faith.
Listen, hey.
Boy, I had a. Anyway, so I got in my daughter's ear. I said, "Can you play?" She said, "Daddy, it hurts." Mm. I said, "Suck it up and go spike that ball right on top of that girl."
Mm.
And when I say my daughter ended the game with a spike,
yeah,
that's what she did.
On the
and knocked him out. That's how you get your.
Yeah,
I won't say vengeance, but what should I say?
Yeah,
that's how you get
that's your how you kill him with
kindness. There you go. Yeah, but top shout out to Stop Select organization, the volleyball club.
Absolutely,
they're awesome in what they do. The 11s did well this year. The 12s did well this year. That's my daughter's team, Deanna Mitchell. Shout out to her. So she's been doing great things on that team. The team is phenomenal, and there's a lot of great things to come. And we also partner with Top Select.
We do. And so with your daughter and you being in, and again, Dwight, who's again the executive director, I didn't introduce him properly, the executive director of the Fit for Life Summer Boot Camp, but summer radio show and boot camp. But your daughter is constantly involved with training, constantly trying to get her body to the maximum level. So to see what these kids are doing, which many of these kids have no experience with any type of athletic ability, sports, can you just talk about the level of training they're getting when it comes to their physical fitness?
So Lowood, again, shout out to Lowood.
Yeah.
He's an integral part of keeping the girls in shape. Because one thing to be able to play a sport, and Ivan Rainey could speak more to this when he gets here, but it's another thing to be in physical shape, because if you don't, your body doesn't keep up with your mind, everything doesn't work together. So my daughter's constant training. You know, sometimes I try to give her a break. I can see, you know, she's a kid, so she gets tired. But you have to eat right, you have to work out, and you have to get your mental part of your game together, understanding what you're doing, why you're doing it. And I think that's the hardest part, trying to get young kids to understand why you're stretching.
Yeah.
Why you're constantly doing these drills, because drills can become mundane. If trainers don't find creative ways, which Lowood does a great job at making it fun so they can still get the same result and at the same time be working on something to enhance what they're trying to do. So the physical training that we're doing here at Fit for Life Bootcamp, we're seeing kids that are robust, who's starting to drip off some weight. Now, we got to get into the food aspect of what they're doing when they get home. And we talked about find out what do you eat at dinner time, because we're with them for breakfast.
Right.
We're with them for lunch. But what happens when you go home?
Right.
Oh, you know, that fried chicken.
Pork chops.
Bread and rice.
Cornbread.
And eating good. So your body's fighting itself constantly. So I think we've done a great job of seeing results. It's one thing to have a result. Like, say you can fix your car, Sarai, but nobody knows how much money you put under the hood, because you're riding down the street anyway.
Yeah.
But another thing, you start seeing a little shine on that car. And you got armor on your tires, you know. Now, we're starting to see the armor on the tires of these kids. You see them dripping some weight off.
Right.
You're seeing their minds a little clearer. You're seeing that they're not as tired.
Right.
At the end of the day, because the first week, Nathan, you could test it.
These
kids, they were sleeping.
I mean, again, the speed and agility was their worst, the thing they hate, that they didn't like the worst. And by the end of that week, that's what got me. This is what's been pretty phenomenal. I think there's something for all the parents out there, that if we raise the standard with our kids, they will rise to the occasion. I think we have too many low standards when it comes to their education, when it comes to their morality, when it comes to their physical fitness, when it comes to their intellect, and we almost allow society to create the standard for us.
Correct.
And I think that's totally false, because, and I'm not going to get in my soapbox, but our young people, in so many words, and I'm going to shout out my mother, Michelle Young, who's holding it down at the Fifth Life Boot Camp right now, because she's been in education for over 30 years, and I feel qualified to say this, but the educational system, we're training our young people to be robotic regurgitators instead of actual intellectual thinkers. What do I mean by that? It's all about taking the test. It's all about hitting the mark. It's all about getting the grade. And so now when you get a situation where a kid has to make a decision on their own and it's not force-fed to them, they don't understand how to operate in that environment. That doesn't just apply to education. That applies to social skills, because now we're in a technology world where everything is, you know, social. Everything is a text message. Everything is a DM. Nothing is actually communication. And then because of that, because of our society, the physical fitness has gone down so much that we're seeing a lot of these issues. Listen, I don't know what you say about it, but my great grandparents and my grandparents, it didn't seem like they had the health challenges that we're experiencing in this generation. I think it has a lot to do with the physical fitness, of course, the food, and that Dwight, Dwight is big on that. But again, I didn't mean to go that direction, but just the fact that we've got to raise the standard for our kids. Right. We cannot keep them and say, oh, they can't do this, or make excuses for them. My aunt likes to watch this show. Shout out to Katrina Shaw. It's like a 600-pound
person or whatever. Yeah, 600-pound family.
Okay, so I mean, I don't watch a lot of TV, to be honest with you, but I, you know, when it's on, I'm looking. And what's incredibly, what I don't get, and I maybe have to be in the situation, is that they didn't get there by themselves. It's impossible for you to get to that weight by yourself. There were so many enablers around them that, I mean, not to take away what it is for them, but there, I mean, so many enablers that you constantly have situations where this person is trying to get, you know, lose weight or whatever, and then the family is still buying junk food and this. So it's like, at some point, we have to take responsibility for these kids. We can't just say they're bad, they're this, they're that. Well, what are we enabling them to do?
Well, let me just say this, and Sarai, this happened at your school years ago. I did a quick
shout out to Sarai. Evans on. High School graduate. Yes.
So I did a quick acute study with about 30 kids in the classroom. And I said, listen, kids, we got a chance to change the lunch menu. Mm. So those who want a healthy menu, go to the right side of the room. Those who want an unhealthy menu, mind, I said unhealthy menu, go to the left side of the room. 80% of the kids went to the unhealthy side of the room. And I asked the question, why did y'all choose the unhealthy food? And I said unhealthy. I didn't say better, you know, different type of food that you don't like. I said unhealthy. Why'd you go to the unhealthy side? They said because unhealthy tastes better.
That's the truth.
Well, yeah, it's the truth. Sometimes. But sometimes you gotta stretch. Like Nathan does the stretch thing all the time. You gotta stretch and find foods that are healthy that taste just as good as something else. It's always a substitute. So let me ask you, Sarai. Sarai, y'all can't see Sarai right now.
But I'm here.
But Sarai's in great shape.
In the building.
Oh, I'm not in great shape, Mr. Dwight.
Stop bragging. All right, so, so how do you maintain? I guess you have a lifestyle, because you can't be in shape unless you just naturally, you know.
Bryant.
Gifted. What do you do? What's different between you and your peers?
You did do sports, right?
Yeah, I did do sports. I did lacrosse, wrestling, track. I wanted to try everything. Yeah. But yesterday we went on a bike trail with Mr. PA. Mm-hmm. And it basically comes with what you're putting into your body, and as well as how many times a day that you're actually exercising. Because if you have 30 days within the month and you're only exercising 2 to 3 days out of that whole entire month, you're not as productive as somebody that is doing constantly. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm not that in shape. You guys are probably more in shape than me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as I'm getting older, I'm understanding, because my metabolism is starting to slow down, and it's what I'm putting in my body is starting to show. Like when I first started my junior year, I was 106 pounds. Right? Mm-hmm. You now can imagine what 106 pounds is. Right now, I'm probably like 150. And that was within a course of a year. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I was constantly like, I can tell you that whole, like, every day was fast food. Every day was something bad. Every day was a 4 for 4, a McDonald's, a Chili's. And I was putting that into my body. And then when I got towards my senior year, I was like, okay, what's going on? I feel different. And all that food and all that bad calories I was intaking started to show. And it's like, now I wasn't able to run as fast as I could, because I would have to stop and I would have to learn, practice how to breathe and different things like that, because it was during off season. So I wasn't in the gym. I wasn't working out as I used to be. We wasn't in the weight room, none of that. So I was just piling on this food, not realizing I was doing it to my body. And then when the season came back around, I was in the back. So it's all about trying to find.
Well, let me ask you, to the average student, because a lot of kids may not be into sport.
Yeah.
So how do you get them off the phone and onto the track, or into something that's physical? Because even my daughter, I'm trying to not let her get addicted to this phone, because it's addictive.
It is.
You see the big light in your face all the time, like you're being hypnotized. How do you change that?
It's all about motivation, and I learned that, even whether it's sport or anything, self-motivation plays a major part of it. But when you have somebody that is motivating you as well, it kind of makes you want to strive a little bit harder, because now you have somebody that's holding you accountable. Because oftentimes as teenagers, it's kind of hard to hold ourselves accountable because we're trying to do what's in or what's in style. Like, right. I want to be on my phone. I want to be on social media. I want to know what's going on. But if I have somebody that's motivating me, like, hey, you know, let's go work out a little bit. Hey, let's get up for a walk. Because now you're not alone. And I feel like oftentimes people are alone and they just try to figure out what's best for them. Right. But there's somebody on the outside that's looking in like, hey, this may not be good for you, so let me help you get to where you need to be. But sometimes when you're not able to hold yourself accountable and you don't have that extra motivation, you fall into the black hole. So now you're on the phone. Now you're eating all this unhealthy food because you don't know what's right. It's lack of education. It goes back to not being exposed and not getting the proper education. So now you feel like what's bad is good because that's all you see. Right. But once you have somebody that's motivating you and showing you something different, then your mindset begins to change. Now you don't always need them to motivate you. Now, hey, I don't know. Now I know that since my dad has always been telling me, hey, get off the phone, I don't really need the phone for the day. Let me do something else. Let me get back to my workouts. Right. Let me spend some quality time. Because now, for so long, you was telling her, you was helping her out. Now she has an understanding. Okay.
Right. So he was dropping seeds when he didn't know he was dropping seeds. Yeah. And that's what we're doing right now with Fit for Life and Summer Boot Camp. I think a lot of seeds are being dropped. You don't know out of the 30 how many going to maintain that.
Right.
But I think a good number of them have got a lot of information. We can see some results.
Yeah, and I don't know why I'm on this right now, but I just really think it's important for not only parents, but teachers, educators, youth workers, youth ministers, pastors, whatever the case may be, that we're making sure that we're making sure that the standard for our young people are at a level where they can reach for it and not a level where they need to reach up and not down. And I think that so many times we make excuses, again, especially even when it comes to technology. I was compelled. I was at home. I think I was at home 2 days ago. I was compelled to talk to our Fit for Life kids about social media,
right,
and about the whole aspect of that, not just from a, you know, personal development, even kind of spiritual, but professional. A professional development standpoint. I mean, employers are looking at social media accounts to decide who they're going to hire. And so I'm not going to get on that tangent, but I just think it's important that we, first of all, understand that our society is changing, that we can't depend on the school system, the church, whoever else to create that standard for our kids, to create that desire or whatever it is we're trying to create. We've got to do it ourselves.
So what do you think is the best place for kids to get this information? Because obviously they're not getting it in church, they're not getting it in school, like she just said, and they're not getting it at home. So where's the best place do you think, with all this information we're gathering, you know, we're actually doing a study now, you know, mm-hmm, in a sense. Where's the best place you think these kids can get this information at this point? Because we can talk about what's going on. Everybody knows that now. But what do you think the solution can be? I'm not putting you on the spot.
Right,
you
have to have the answer. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
well, even listening to audience may have an idea.
Well, first of all, yes, absolutely. And I want to make sure that if you like this conversation, you want to chime in on what we're talking about, please call us, 407-369-8555. You can also listen to us on the radio, obviously, 98.5 FM, or you can watch us on Facebook Live at the Wire 985 Facebook page. What I would say, though, before I answer that question, I think that we've got to make sure we're putting the focus in the home, because too many times it's like, let me send my kid here, let me send my kid there, and it is, it's tough for that. I deal with, you know, parents of kids all the time, and it's tough for that single mom that has three jobs,
right,
has four kids. It's very tough. But at the same time, that seed, the time, the biggest influence in their life is going to be at home.
Let me stop you there, because that's a common answer. So it starts at home.
But I'm not saying that's the answer.
Okay.
Have to make sure that that's in the running, that we can't just dismiss that, oh, they're not getting at home. No. We have to make sure that we are providing at home. But I really believe that it's kind of what we're doing. I think it's those extra after school curricular activities. I think it's those coaches. I think, you know, whoever that influencer in their life is, because sometimes they might be getting at home, but they've shut mama and dad out.
Right.
The teacher, they don't want to hear them. Right. Church, they ain't paying attention to. So it's that person that captures their attention. And that's why I think it's so important for us to identify the passions of these young people. All these young people have passion. They have a passion. Sometimes they have not been exposed to their passion because they have not had the opportunity to see what's out there. So you could find someone who has a passion for building, but the only time that came out is when they were building Legos. But now from 12 to 15, they've never had a chance to build anymore. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't see that passion come out unless you have a project where they got to build. So it does. And then out of that, they might find that one person, that one mentor, that one person that is in the place where their passion is, that can become their influencer. Mm-hmm. So if it's a lot of times it's easy to put sports, basketball, football, that coach can be the influencer. But it could be that businessman. It could be that stylist. It could be whoever that whatever that kid's passion is. A person in that realm is going to be that influencer, and sometimes that's going to be better.
Well, I agree with the passion. You know, I go more with the gift.
Absolutely, right.
Passions that right. They don't have the gift for it.
That's good.
Right, they're chasing somebody else's dream. But at the same time, I like you said, I agree with you. A lot of people think about the traditional household.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist in most cases anymore.
Right.
A lot of times you got different single parent households, or sometimes kids are raising themselves. So when you throw that at all, the shit happened at home. A lot of kids don't have nobody helping with homework. It's just a lot of things not there. No support mechanism is there
right.
like it used to be. So we can't keep using that as an excuse. I hear that too many times in all these not for profit meetings I have. Oh, it's the parents. Yeah, but if the parents not there, who's going to do it?
Right.
Then that's the kids true. Get into some problems. Then you find like, oh, well, you know, you just kind of throw them away. Then
it was the neighborhood.
It was the neighborhood, mm-hmm. right. So it's important, I think, for the adults to figure out what is the solution at this point in time. Let's not go back to 1970, 1980, right. 1990. Right. Even then, that didn't really exist. But especially in our community. So we have to find a creative way
right.
to do what we're doing or trying, attempting to do more often.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much in the school system. A counselor could have a caseload of 1,000 kids.
Yeah, yeah. And we can't blame.
That's right.
That's true. Because I remember when it comes when the senior year, like me, I'm an active student. So when I was a student assistant in the guidance office, so a lot of the counselors knew me. But I had some friends that said the first time that they met their counselor out of the 4 years they were in high school was for their senior checklist.
Wow.
That was the first time they met their counselor. And it's like, and it kind of falls back on the student as well. It's like, what is your motivation? What is your drive? Because sometimes you are right, Mr. Dwight. The counselor has thousands of kids that's on their plate. They can't just cater to one student.
Right.
But you have to make it your responsibility. You know what? If I'm trying to succeed, I know I don't have it at home. I know I don't have the support at home. But I want to show that it's not all upon my parent. Let me take initiative to see what I need as a student in order to succeed. I'm failing in math. Okay, they have numerous tutors and people that volunteer. What can I do? What steps can I take in order to better myself? And I feel like that's the problem as well. Some of the students are waiting to get fed. Fed. Like they want everybody.
Silver platter.
They want a silver spoon. They want everybody to bring the information to them. They want everybody to help them. Oh, I'm in need. But what are you doing? What are you doing to for yourself to take yourself out of the situation?
I tell you what I say to that, and I agree with you. It's not a disagreement at all. Absolutely. It's just another point of view. If we sit in a classroom right now, the three of us, and I tell you, intelligent Nathan and myself, we're all intelligent people, and we have the same teacher, and the teacher administered a test to us, we will not get the same score more likely.
No,
one of us may get an 80, one may get a 90, one may get a 100. But we have the same information at the same time. What I'm trying to get at is that some people need more nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are kinesthetic. So people learn different and they need different support. So we can't judge everybody by the same standard. We have to figure out, just like a coach of a basketball team, and Ivan Rainey, when he gets here, he's late in traffic right now. But you have to know your team.
Yeah,
I can't yell at you. Because you may have had some issues at home where yelling reminds you of something happened at home with your father or your mother. You may need to, a person may need to pull aside or give positive motivation, not the command style. So we have to learn our community.
Yeah.
We have to learn kids. It takes time.
Right. And I fully 100% agree with that. We did a study. We did something at Fit for Life because I said it's just as important to know how you learn as it is to know what you learn. And because, you know, a lot of times, and it's an epidemic because a lot of students do learn differently and the system is kind of built for one way of learning sometimes. And so they get lost in the shuffle. It's not that they're not intelligent kids. They just, you know, and there's tests to show this. You know, some kids, they're more verbal than written. Written tests they don't do well with. Verbal tests they can move. So it's all these different. But at the end of the day, my thing to every leader, every adult out there, if you're not a part of the solution, you are a part of the problem. Because at the end of the day, we have to be an advocate for our young people, not only the ones that are your kids personally, but for your community. I want to give a big shout out to someone in a moment, but definitely want you to call in, be a part of this conversation. 407-369-8555. What do you feel we can do to push the envelopes to raise the standard for our young people? You know, even at this Fit for Life boot camp, I think I said early on, I had a parent come to me and ask me, why would you have the standard that high?
Yeah, I remember that. That's
right? Yeah. And it's like, huh? Like, are we, I didn't even know how to respond. Like, it caught me so off guard, because this was a young parent that wanted to bring their two kids into camp.
Right.
But it was like, why would the standard be that high? And it's like, are we coming to that point where we're so down in on ourselves and our opportunities that we're trying to limit the opportunities of these kids? And I think we just absolutely cannot do that. So again, call in 407-369-8555. You're listening to the Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM The Wire, presented by Frontline Sports Center and sponsored by Amerigroup. We will be right back after these messages.
Yo, are you a legend?
Yeah, I'm a legend. Oh my God, if I die, I'm a legend.
Wait, not that kind of legend. A legend from Legends Academy.
What's Legends Academy?
Legends is a K-8 STEM-focused school that prepares leaders for tomorrow.
Leaders like me?
Yeah, anybody can be a leader. And there are a lot of young leaders out there like us that need a place to prepare.
Then tell them to come out.
If you are a young leader, come out and register at Legends Academy, located at the Hope Center West Campus in the Washington Soares community of Orlando, Florida. School hours are from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Be there.
Well, I'm gonna slide out there right now.
Yo, my name is Mark.
And this is Laura.
And we are part of the Youth Empowerment Project. YUP is a nonprofit organization that looks to expose students to many opportunities.
We also look to equip students with information and empower youth and young adults to success through professional development.
Some opportunities are field trips and guest speakers.
We learn design, video, social media, and web design.
We also make money from paid internships in our Life Print store.
You can learn more at www.youthep.org. Join us at Frontline Outreach, 3000 CR Smith Street, Orlando, Florida, 32805, second floor.
This is a place where your voice is heard.
Remember, equip, expose, and empower.
What's up? This your man Larry with some info about Frontline Outreach Sports Center. This place has lit programs like Friday night open gym, basketball training, and more. Our mission is to serve and support youth and their families through programs in early childhood education, character development, athletics, health and wellness, and family empowerment. We are located at 3000 CR Smith Street, Orlando, Florida, 32805. Be there.
Life Print Enterprises is here for your multimedia needs in video production, graphic design, photography, web, publication, and so much more. We not only provide the best in production, but we also give back by providing internships to youth and young adults. When you book us, you're helping our next generation. Leave a lasting print by contacting Life Print today at www.thelifeprint.com. That's www.thelifeprint.com.
Yo, my name is Mark.
And this is Laura.
And we are part of the Youth Empowerment Project. YUP is a nonprofit organization that looks to expose students to many opportunities.
We also look to equip students with information and empower youth and young adults to success through professional development.
Some opportunities are field trips and guest speakers.
We learn design, video, social media, and web design.
We also make money from paid internships in our Life Print store.
You can learn more at www.youthep.org. Join us at Frontline Outreach, 3000 CR Smith Street, Orlando, Florida, 32805, second floor.
This is a place where your voice is heard.
Remember, equip, expose, and empower.
And We're back with the Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM The Wire. We're so excited to be here, presented by Frontline Sports Center and sponsored by Simply Healthcare Plans. We've been having a phenomenal conversation. Shout out to Iron Rainey. Iron Rainey is a basketball influencer and mental strategist. Right now, he's stuck in traffic right now. He's about 3 minutes away, so we're so excited to talk to him. But we've been in a really engaging conversation about raising the standard for our young people. And I just want to share some unfortunate news that last Saturday there was a young man very close to our vicinity. We're at Frontline Outreach, which is right by C.R. Smith Street, right next to Boca Apartments. A 15-year-old young man got shot in the head and killed. I don't know all the specifics, and I don't want to get into the specifics. I don't know that, but from what I hear, he had never been arrested. Wasn't into any type of drug use, seemed like a decent kid. And one of the things that has been coming out of it is that nobody saw nothing. Nobody heard it. The area that was done, was I able to see that area? It was pretty well lit area at that particular time of night, but nobody saw anything. And here's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. This is really going on. I remember from, I think it was 2017, November 2017 going into, no, November 2016 going into 17, there was about 23 murders of people under the age of 25, and it was affecting all of our kids at the time. It was affecting us so much that we had to kind of put a focus on that with our after school program, because at the time there were actually organizations and ministries that were able walking kids home from Evans. I don't know if you remember this, Sarai, but yeah. They were walking kids home from Evans because it had gotten that bad. I thought it was some type of gang initiation, but at the end of the day, I don't believe in fear mongering, but the reality is that our young people are still falling to some of these different issues. And again, we've got to create an environment that's safe. We got to create an environment where young people feel that they can come to, and we've got to raise the standard. My question is my heart is for the 15-year-old, but it also goes out to whoever that person who committed it was. What was their story? And a lot of times we don't create an environment where that person could get help. And so I think there's just two sides of the story.
It could have been another 15-year-old.
We don't know, you know? And so it's just so sad to see when our society is going in that direction, and it doesn't feel like anything is happening about it.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is you got to love yourself and your community. A lot of it comes from self-hate. So you don't love yourself, I definitely don't love you.
Right.
You know, so, but back to one thing you said, which I find a huge problem. There's a thing the black community has across the country, the no snitch rule.
Yeah, that's
which is ridiculous.
Dumbest thing in the world.
A lot of that came from the mafia story, the Scarface, and all that whole Italian culture. You don't snitch. But they're the biggest snitches they are.
Right.
But we're following something more than they follow.
Right.
And we're killing ourselves. We can't afford to keep killing ourselves. Somebody kills your brother, your mother, you're not going to tell? Are you kidding?
And I got to say this. Listen, we talk so heavily, especially during that time. The talk was police brutality. That was the issue at that time. 2016 going into 17, that was the issue. However, if you go back and look at the deaths that were accounted for, it was black on black crime. People don't like me when I talk about this, but that's our epidemic. It is not police brutality. That's an issue, no doubt. We need to talk about it. But what are we doing about killing ourselves? And again, like I said, an environment not being created for our young people. So we were talking about just raising the standard and making sure that the people that are working with young people have the qualifications,
right,
have the passion, have the heart to really see the young people go to the next level. And it's not, they're not just a number.
Now, so Rob was talking about something off the air about how some people who in this profession working with kids, now I've heard it before, Sarai, too. They said, I don't even like kids. I've heard them in the midst say, I don't even like kids. And I'm sitting by myself, said, well, why are you here? But we know why that is. Sarai, you want to speak to what you were saying before?
Yeah, I remember growing up when I was in school, I have heard teachers say, I don't even want to, I'm only here for a paycheck. Or already have my degree, you need to get yours. And it's like, imagine being a student and you're here to get an education, and somebody that's supposed to be educating you is telling you they don't even want to be here, they're only here for the monetary gains. and they're not even giving you the proper education, and they're not putting your heart, they're not putting their heart into it. Because when somebody really want to be there and they really want to be there for the kids, they give you 110%. Right. I know teachers like Mr. Lewis and Dr. Juan Chisholm and Dr. Shakiba Shields, Miss Rodriguez, Miss Alexander.
Shout them out.
It wasn't only based on education aspect. When I was going through problems and I was crying, I'd come into class crying because they cared so much to be there. They would take me out and have a conversation with me and tell me that everything's going to be okay. And as well, in the classroom, I'm having a hard time. They would spend hours after school. Dr. Chisholm would stay hours after school to help students. I'm talking about students that did nothing for 8 weeks in his classroom.
Right.
He would still stay that ninth week when grades were due so they can get an opportunity, even if it was to give you 50% of the credit. You get what I'm saying? Teachers like that are not there to see you fail, but to help you succeed, whether it's to give you a boost or whether just to help you to be a guide.
You know how powerful that is?
It's very powerful.
I remember way back when I was in fifth grade, Miss Adler. For me to remember a teacher way back there in the 70s, her name. And man, she was a white teacher, mind you, and she gave us African culture and taught us about our history of our culture. That's probably where I get the love from.
Wow!
And she was a white Jewish lady, Miss Apple.
Was only like 10 years ago, Mr. Dwight.
Yeah, right.
So nice. If we shouting out teachers, I got to shout out my third and fourth grade teacher. Miss Hamilton, she was one of my first African American teachers that I ever had, but she was just powerful, and she moved up a grade because she loved us so much.
I had a second grade teacher She was my first and second grade teacher.
It was amazing. And then I got a shout out Mr. Evans. He was my chorus teacher, and he really pushed me. You know, again, elementary time, but pushed me to try to push that gift, whatever, and acting, whatever. So they can make a difference, and what you do with your young people can make a difference. People don't realize that the words are so powerful. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And ladies and gentlemen, what you say can tear up or it can build down. So again, if you want to join in this conversation, call 407-369-8555. I think we have a caller. Okay. Well, if you want to join in, 407-369-8555, your words have power. And when you say something to a young person, it can either build them up or it can break them down. You have to ask yourself, are you a builder or are you a breaker? We do it with the kids all the time with their own friendships, but we got to look in the mirror. Are we planting seeds that are going to build the kids, or are we planting seeds that's going to break them? When we're telling them about their negativity, that's a seed that's going to break that kid and not build that kid. So how can we push the envelope? How can we move the dial and become change agents and not just pushing the problem? So listen, we want you to make sure you join in this conversation again. We have some more conversation coming. I believe that we have a caller on the line. Tell us who you are and talk to us.
Hi, my name is Duke, and this is the first time I'm ever calling on a radio station.
Oh, wow.
I moved back to Orlando. I listen to you guys literally almost every day and every morning, and you guys are absolutely doing really good for the community.
Thank you so much, Duke.
The reason I'm calling in regards to, I don't know who spoke in regards to Dr. Chisholm. I actually had Dr. Chisholm in high school before I graduated.
Wow.
That was back in 2008.
Wow.
And I used to teach a middle school in the past couple of years. And on the top, you really just said something really powerful. Word is exactly a two-end of a sword. What you say really impact a kid. And I have letters on top of letters on top of letters from my middle school students. Still to this day, I keep them in a file safe because of the things that they tell you on how you impact them on the little small things you do just so you could cheer up their day. Half of the time, we have no idea what these kids go through whenever they get back home.
So true, Duke. That is so, so true. Sarai was talking about Ms. Chisholm, and that was so, so powerful. We appreciate you calling in because it is very powerful what we say to the kids. We would love to have you continue to listen to us on the radio, continue to call in, and maybe even possibly be a guest one day. But we definitely appreciate your call. So we definitely appreciate your call. Duke, make sure you definitely call back in on the next show because we want to continually have conversations like this. And I want to go back to what he said because he talked about how being a middle school teacher, how he was able to make an impression on the students' lives. And I think it's so important that we understand our power. I was talking about, you know, Dwight was getting our guests, but the power of life and death is in the tongue. And what we say is so important to these kids. And I see so many environments, Sarai kind of alluded to it, but you go in sometimes to other institutions, schools, programs, and you hear just negativity to the kids, like they're cussing at the kid. First of all, whatever you on the spectrum, that's fine. I had to talk to our young adult staff about this, because when a young person is acting out, we had Dr. Tekoa and Shelly Fanfan on the show, and they talked about trauma. When a young person is acting out, there's a reason why they're doing that.
Right.
You can't allow your emotions to go up and down, your mood to go up and down because of what they're doing. You may be having to discipline them, but that should not affect your emotional state of mind.
Right.
And I think so many times we get so frustrated with the kids that we start spitting out venom, you know, and expecting them to straighten up.
I think a lot of times too, we're too busy trying to be cool. It's like you want to come down to what's cool right now. This street vernacular, we got to equal out how they speak,
that.
You know, and so the whole Ebonics 2018 comes out your mouth. And I mean, why would you lower your standards, you know, to meet with what's not correct? So
right. You
need to be adult. You need to use psychology to correct the situation, not try to be on their level and speak the same vernacular they're speaking, which doesn't help the situation.
Right.
Because fire and fire creates more fire. You know, so I think too many times a lot of people have the desire or the passion to be a mentor or be a counselor, but the gift is more important. Again, you have the gift to work with kids. You have the gift to change, motivate, and enhance and build kids up to a place where they can be productive in society.
Right.
It's not enough just to be their friend and be cool. You have
to
be in corrective mode and help bring out their strengths that they don't know what they even have.
Yeah. You have a power. I think it's important to understand, and we're on this subject, you know, and I'm going to just ride it for a moment. You have power with what you say. You have power with what you do. And it's so important that we recognize the power within us as it relates to impacting the next generation. And if we don't recognize that power, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have an incredible, incredible problem. And so this is perfect, because I think that, you know, we have an incredible, incredible a gentleman that's in the studio right now. His name is Iron Rainey. He is the owner of Iron Rainey Basketball. And when I first met him, he said something powerful to me, and it's always stuck with me. He said, "I'm not a trainer." He said, "I'm a basketball influencer, and I'm a mental strategist." And as I began to sit and actually see some of the workouts that he was doing with some of the kids, the mental aspect was so important. It wasn't just about the physical. It was really about the mental. And one of the things we just was chopping up about the power of words, and how, you know, life and death is the power of the tongue, but how you can plant seeds that will build a kid or plant seeds that will break a kid.
Yeah.
And so I just want, you know, first of all, welcome to the studio.
Yeah, give him a proper introduction. Let's just go. Just give it to him.
Listen. This is, I hope you understand who you're listening to on the radio right now, because
give me I'll send you a whole version. Go ahead.
I wasn't around that.
Okay.
but I know the woo. But listen, this is a young man who has trained professional athletes. He's trained collegiate athletes, high school prospects, has actually played overseas, has the talent on an NBA level without a shadow of a doubt, has been such an influencer, not in just the community, not in just the NBA world, but also with young people, and truly has a mindset behind how he builds people that I haven't seen a whole lot. I liken it a little bit to Lil Wood. And so we want to definitely welcome to the studio Iron Rainey. But Iron, I just want you to I want you to kind of start a little bit from the beginning, and I want to get to the where we are now, because you didn't come you didn't start off with the best circumstances.
Exactly.
You had some challenges.
Absolutely.
But there was something that happened that shifted that to make you want to go on the right path. Can you speak to that for a second? Because you might find a mother that's in the same situation where you were.
Definitely. I've got a super long story, a profound story. I actually went through a significant period of adversity throughout my last year of college. I had a limited mindset, limited belief systems, had the world, I thought, handed to me, you know, on a silver platter, obviously due to the ability to play a sport, and didn't really recognize my value. And because of that, ended up making some wrong choices, some wrong decisions, not really being around the wrong crowd, or the right crowd, I should say. And it kind of cost me my basketball playing career, but it also gave me an opportunity to do a lot of introspecting and getting over a lot of my insecurities, fears, the need to feel validated, all that good stuff. And in turn, it helped me change my story. And when I changed my story, I changed my life. And that's kind of what I do now with my company, whether it's a kid going through something on the basketball court or going through something at home, or whether it's an NBA guy that just simply wants to perform at his highest potential. Right. I connect with each one of my clients psychologically so that they can, you know, perform as the best version of themselves.
Now, I want the audience to really understand.
Also, let him brag about who he's been working with.
That's what I'm trying to say. Right, I want the audience to really understand the level of talent that you have and the level of talent that you work with, to understand this is not just a fly-by-night, you know, training. This is someone that understands the game. And so, you know, you played overseas.
Definitely at a young age.
At a young age, and was successful there. Correct. And now you're in a position. Just name some of the people that you've been able to work with.
Over the years, I've worked with a large amount of guys. Courtney Lee is one of my clients now. Antonio Blakeney, who's now made it to the NBA.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, I had an opportunity to work with him a few times before he actually made it. So that was definitely a privilege.
Yeah.
Deshaun Stevenson, Tony Douglas, Tony Allen, who else? Chandler Parsons, Austin Rivers, you name it. I mean, there's
Tobias Harris.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. But it's definitely been a blessing.
Aaron Gordon.
I've never worked with Aaron. Okay. Hopefully looking forward to it, you know, soon. But not yet. He hasn't gotten in the gym with me yet.
Yeah. Just incredible basketball mind. Can you talk about, you know, because again, the impression that was made to me was the mental capacity that the kid grew working under you. And what I put on here is almost, I don't want to put this on you, but it's almost like a paternal role. I mean, it's not. We talked about raising the standard for our kids, and you have a standard for what you expect from an athlete coming into your training.
Definitely.
Talk about that, the mental aspect of it.
I think that, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to sports, embark, whether it's a trainer or a coach, they embark solely on the physical attributes. And it's imperative that we recognize that in order to perform at a super high level, you have to tap into the true essence of who you are as an athlete and as an overall human being. There's certain characteristics that help you perform, and there's certain characteristics that, you know, allow you to grow and develop into your full potential. And so, once again, what I do as a developer, as a teacher, as a consultant, is tap into the psychological part of it. A lot of it has to do with the stories. A lot of it has to do with habits. You know, we're all humans, we're all creatures of habit. And so whatever we've done consistently is, you know, how we're going to perform. So the goal is to figure out what makes people tick, you know, what makes people not perform, and help figure out a fine medium so that, once again, they're performing consistently as the best version.
Let me ask a quick question. So I know I watch a lot of basketball, and that's one of my passions as well. Gifted too, but he don't know that yet, right? But how do you diagnose a potential client? So you're watching the game, you see a kid or a pro you may want to work with. You looking at how he dribbles, how he shoots. What is your process of figuring out I can help him in these areas? It's like a doctor. I mean, see somebody, they look at his eyes and they yell and say he has jaundice, so he's sick. How do you diagnose something?
I think it is similar to a doctor. I'm glad you said that. I think it's a lot similar. What I do is I'm a person that, you know, loves people. I got a divine love for people, so I study human behavior. I watch people's body language. I watch how they react to certain situations and certain scenarios. I watch how they move. I watch how they interact with their peers, with their coaches, etc. And so it becomes just overall a human study. And then basketball is only a small part of it. So the basketball stuff, the physical part of it is easy. The tough part is figuring out who that individual actually is without a basketball.
So what do you say that, you know, cause you're bringing it to the league and, you know, not to talk about players you may work with in the future.
Right.
But you know, you have the hotheads out there. You have the ones that just explode, and it seems like on the court they're having a mental breakdown. what do you say to that? Like, what is the line between passion and fire, and then now you're crossing it and you're now being a detriment to your team?
That's a great question. I think there are a wide variety of guys that have different characteristics that drive them. Mm-hmm. You take a guy like Kobe Bryant, a guy like Michael Jordan. I'm not sure if you ever read Tim Grover's book, Relentless, but he talks about the mentality that those guys have mm-hmm. and why they were to perform at such a high level. You know, those guys play with a different level of passion, a different level of
passion. You notice he didn't say LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron.
I knew he was going to say that. LeBron, say that.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, LeBron's a great player, but it's just, I think he operates on a different a level of mentality. I think he operates in a different space mm-hmm. Than those guys. I think some of those guys allow for not necessarily hotheads, but I think they are driven and obsessed with success.
Yeah.
I'm on a basketball court, and I think for some guys that's great, and they hold themselves to a higher standard, and they hold their teammates and their peers to a higher standard. Whereas other guys aren't necessarily driven by the same level of success, so the expectancy isn't as high, but they still perform.
Yeah,
they just have a different approach.
Now we're gonna have to bring you back on. We have time, but I want to let the people know, if they want to get in contact with you, how would they do that? I want them to know that now, and then we could continue the conversation, but I want them to get that in right now. Mm-hmm. If they want to, I know you have your Instagram, Iron Rainey Basketball on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a number they can call?
There's a number they can call. That number is 407-408-2939. Once again, that's 407-408-2939. And just call with questions, with inquiries.
Yeah.
We'll explain the system. We explain everything that we do. Different programs that may benefit their children and how we can move forward.
And you work with everything from middle school, high school.
Yeah, we actually start at third grade. So from third grade all the way, you know.
So parents, if you're out there, you have an aspiring athlete in basketball, definitely you want to make sure you contact Ira Rainey, one of the best in the industry in this. And so again, you were talking about different personalities. Is there ever a situation where the obsession of basketball, because you talk about how life can influence basketball,
of course,
what about the other side?
Of course,
the obsession of basketball affecting life in a negative way. I mean, is there something to be said to those that go? I was just reading about Lynn Bias, and you know,
incredible story.
And, I mean, just I would love to see what that was, but you know,
definitely.
How do you balance that?
You know what? I think it goes a lot. It has a lot to do with foundation. I think a lot of the way people interact with each other and interact in life is based on their environment. Once again, I feel like it's up to me and up to coaches and developers to really help figure out who individuals are mm-hmm. and how to maximize their human potential. You see a lot of guys that when the ball stops bouncing, they don't really have anything else to mm-hmm. rely on mm-hmm. because they get their full identity through the game of basketball. And When they're no longer relevant, there's nowhere to run to. There's nowhere to cling to. Yeah. One of my favorite writers, I think Eckhart Tolle mm-hmm. actually worked The Power of Now. And he mm-hmm. talks about how the ego dwells in the past or it always thinks about what's something that's going to happen in the future. And I think a lot of times in basketball, that's kind of, you know, how we interact because we're told we're great, you know, our entire lives and we've never been told no. And so when that's done, it's like, who are we?
Right.
You know, we need to feel validated. We need to feel relevant. We need to feel important. So I think that's something that, you know, we provide in our program is how to become a phenomenal human being, a phenomenal individual, and just utilizing the conduit of basketball to really maximize who we are as people.
We're in super drive a little bit. We're definitely gonna have to have you back on the show. But can you actually just explain maybe two or three components of your program mm-hmm. so someone listening kind of seated it, you know, how that process would work?
Definitely. Well, we just actually restructured our schedule. So Mondays we do ball handling with a purpose. We actually call it handles with a purpose. Mm-hmm. If you look at social media and you look at all the different trainers and coaches out there, basketball has become somewhat of a fad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really about getting results anymore. It's basically about how cool you look.
Right.
But a lot of parents come to me and they say, hey, how can my son or daughter make their middle school team?
Yeah.
How can my son or daughter make their high school team? And it's about being able to do things with a purpose.
The skill.
And being sure and being confident, etc. So everything we do is to build, you know, the player physically and also build a supreme level of confidence. So Monday's our ball handling class. which has to do with being able to handle the ball with the purpose, getting the spots, being efficient, being effective with the least amount of effort. Tuesdays are our shooting classes, which have to do with being able to make shots in games, not just pulling out a shooting machine and, you know, shooting around, but actually shooting game time shots and game time spots with the purpose.
Yeah.
The goal is to help them create the reality of performing at a high level before they actually get there.
Just to ask you a question. So now, is Steph Curry's ability God-given talent, or is that training? Like, what is the...
I think it's a lot of both. You know, a lot of people think you can just develop into a shooter like Steph Curry. Some people are just blessed. They have gifts, and we can't take those God-given gifts away from people. I mean, think about all the guys that played before Steph Curry. There are a lot of guys that had, you know, coaches and shooting coaches and trainers, but they still don't shoot the ball like Steph. So I think a lot of his God-given ability, but I also think he's passionate, and I think he does work on his game so that he can perfect his craft.
Is we know that Steph has created a phenomenon.
Definitely.
Is he good for kids? Or is, because now it's like everybody's trying to be.
We got Trae Young,
40-foot three-point shooter. I mean, I'm not saying he's not good for kids, but I'm saying the skill level that you saw Mike and like obsess over, now it's like about how far can I shoot? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think he's great for kids as far as entertainment. If you can shoot the basketball, you can shoot it. But I think kids and parents need to be more focused on building the right foundation, developing the right tools, and developing the right skill set so that they can excel and make their high school teams and make their college teams. And if they can play at the professional level, great. Yeah. But if not, they at least have the right foundation so they can be seen as an asset among coaches.
Absolutely. So you mentioned the dribbling on Mondays,
yep.
the shooting on
shooting
Tuesdays.
The shooting class is actually on Wednesdays, not Tuesdays. The shooting class is on Wednesdays. And then Thursday is when we do our in-game situational concepts. So it's teaching them how to read, react, and build a supreme level of confidence in games so that they once again get used to performing and creating a reality of being exceptional in games before they actually get there.
And you break that out into different components.
Definitely.
Where I've seen it just all in mixed.
Definitely.
Why do you break that out?
Because once again, I think we're creatures of habit. So whatever you teach a kid on the court when you're in training or in practice is obviously how they'll perform in games. If you teach a kid to just dribble through a cone 3 times and then go to the next cone and dribble 6 times, they obviously will develop the habits of dribbling. But when you teach a kid how to think, read, and react and be efficient and be effective, they'll ultimately do that.
So let me ask you this, Iron. How do you incorporate that in the game? As you know, you got practice players.
Definitely.
There's some guys who are phenomenal in practice. Game time come, they ain't worth a nickel.
You're right.
So then you got those guys who don't perform well in practice but show up game time. How do you balance that, or how do you have a kid when you're training him put that into a game situation?
Well, once again, that's why I said that we kind of break our days down to the skill set components, and then we break it down to our actual end game where we apply the skill set in a game time scenario. And I think at that time you kind of see who's who. You see what makes kids tick. You see how they get through adversity. You see if they're able to make shots, you know, with people in their face, and see if they're able to beat people off the dribble, you know, with somebody actually playing defense. You know, a lot of people sell a lot of products on YouTube and on Instagram, and they're just dribbling. And they're going through a cone. But, you know, what people don't understand is when you get in games, those cones start moving. Because now they're real people. And so parents are asking about playing time, and, you know, you see kids struggle, you know, in games. And so, I think so, that's the difference.
So going back to the beginning of skill, like really developing the skills and then showing them how to apply those skills in a real game environment, so it's not just one mesh pot. It's really focused. Now, can someone, is the program where they come to all of it, can someone segment that with your program, or how would you best like that?
It would benefit them to come to everything, because we're giving them everything kind of in one. But you know, obviously people have other things to do and they have lives. So if they can't make, you know, every single one of them, I would advise them to at least come to the shooting, which is a lost art, so we have to be able to come, we have to be able to shoot the basketball, and then on that Thursday come to the in-game situational.
I could talk to you forever. You're gonna have to come back. I'm just
definitely,
telling you,
definitely. I love being here,
but I see you working a lot more inside the three-point line.
Definitely.
You know, with shooting. And a lot of trainers do the opposite.
Of course.
So what is your rationale behind that? Because shooting is such a major part of the basketball.
Shooting is definitely a major part. When you think about the game of basketball and you think about percentages, the three-point line, obviously, is the lowest percentage shot in basketball. If you watch the NBA, I talk to GMs, I talk to scouts all the time. guys have a hard time understanding how to mix the game up. So guys who can master that mid-range game are guys who are usually successful. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. Whereas you have guys that, you know, are kind of limited, that either settle for a three or try to get all the way to the basket. So
and that used to be, that used to be what everybody did.
Exactly. But then
Rip Hamilton was a lost when he was in the league. Course. He was like one of the only ones.
Definitely. And that's why he was able to excel.
So I got 2 minutes, okay?
Okay.
I need you to give me maybe 30 seconds worth of commentary about the free agency market right now and where you are. I know that's hard. But what has been the biggest surprise to you in free agency right now?
The biggest surprise? Probably the DeMarcus Cousins scenario going to the Warriors. That's probably the biggest. Some of the other things I kind of expected. Not everything, but that's probably the biggest surprise. I think they're going to be tough to beat.
What do you think his mental capacity is going to match with their culture?
I mean, I think he'll fit in. You know, when you're playing in that kind of environment, you have no choice but to fit in.
Yeah.
So I think that with him respecting the game and him respecting, you know, certain people that have been able to perform and have some success already, I think, you know, he wants to win. And I
good
think
point.
He,
that's
yeah,
a good point.
Well, listen, we've got to go. I wanted
you
to
tell him where he's having his lessons. He said win, but he said win.
So Iron Rainey is at Frontline Outreach Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Correct.
Monday is the handling with a purpose. Wednesday is shooting. And Thursday is in-game situations.
Correct.
Again, if you want to reach out to him, Iron Rainey on Instagram, Iron Rainey Basketball on Facebook. You can also give him a call. You have been listening to Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM The Wire, presented by Frontline Sports Center. And Iron, right here at Frontline Outreach, 3000 CR Smith Street, Orlando, Florida, 32805. Make sure you call us again on 10 o'clock tomorrow, on Monday at 10 o'clock. All right.